experience as far as the relationships that I've made with people.
And that was the third part of our four-part series.
And we'd like to thank some people, Bob Spear and Bobby, Julie Quinn, Dave, Forrest Harlan, Julie Estep, who said, freaking kick-ass series on homelessness. Keep up the awesomeness. Thank you so much. And there's more people calling in right now. It's wonderful. Thank you all so much.
If we didn't hit our $800 goal, we are so darn close. We're still tallying that up. If you give us a call right now, we'll let you in under the wire, 895-0131. This is FM 90.1, KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Bob Trausch, Benson, thank you guys so much for being here and helping me sit through this. Sometimes it's a lonely place to be during Pledge Drive. Thanks so much for being here. And for Hondo being the captain, as well as Jim Howell, as well as Pyramid Michael and Verna from Paradise Grange. And thank you all for calling in on The Real Issue. It's an honor to sit here week after week and to work with you. Up next is Wonka Radio. Until next time, peace out.
Look at me, up and about. I haven't done this in 20 years.
Oh. Grandpa!
I never thought my life could be anything but catastrophe. But suddenly I begin to see a bit of good luck for me. 'Cause I've got a golden ticket. I've got a golden twinkle in my eye. I never had a chance to shine, never a happy song to sing, but suddenly half the world is mine. What an amazing thing, 'cause I've got a golden ticket.
It's ours, Charlie.
I've got a golden sun up in the sky.
Slippers, Charlie.
I never thought I'd see the day when I would face the world and say good morning. Look at the sun. I never thought that I would be slapping the lap of luxury, 'cause I'd have said
it couldn't be done.
But it can be done.
Ooh, the cane, Charlie. Ah. Here I go. Watch my speed. Oh.
I never dreamed that I would climb over the moon in ecstasy, but nevertheless it's there that I'm shortly about to be.
'Cause I've got a golden ticket. I've got a golden chance to make my way. And with a golden ticket, it's a golden day.
Sun. Cause I'd have said it couldn't be done, but it can be done. I never dreamed that I would climb over the moon in ecstasy, but nevertheless it's there that I'm shortly about to be. 'Cause I've got a golden ticket. I've got a golden ticket. I've got a golden chance to make my way. With a golden ticket, it's a golden day.
And with that, you know that you have landed right here. This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. And this is Wonka Radio here with you on a wonderful, wacky Wednesday evening. And this is our membership drive, our fall membership drive. And so I beseech you, dear listeners, to please give us a call at 895-0131. 1 and make a pledge in support of children's programming, which KZFR commits to every evening from 7 to 7:30. If you are snuggled up on this chilly fall evening and listening, please take advantage of this quiet moment with your kids and call in. It matters not the amount. It just matters that you are representing. So, I am going to fall on the heels of Sue and her wonderful show there, where she was going back to some of her recent programs when she had her four-part series about homelessness. And I met with my friend Ms. Kelly, the teacher librarian extraordinaire, today, and she gave me some books to share with you. And the first one is a book that I'm familiar with, and I've shared this quite a few times, and you may have even heard this on this very program before. It's called The Can-Do Thanksgiving by Marion Hess Pomerank, and the pictures are very charming. They're by Nancy Cote. Dee searched Buster's Market for the just right can. Corn? Suggested her mother. Little bitty white potatoes? No, said Dee. She pushed her glasses higher on her nose. Peas, she finally announced. Please! Dee proudly plunked her peas on the checkout counter. They're for my class's Thanksgiving can-do food drive, she told Priscilla, the cashier. We bring cans and stuff to school, and later they get delivered to people who need them somewhere. Then Dee gave Priscilla the 89 pennies, which she'd saved by herself. Where will my peas go? Dee asked her mother as they crossed the street to school. To a hungry person for a nice meal, replied her mother. Where? Dee wanted to ask, but it was time to go inside. In her classroom, Dee placed her peas in a box at the front of the room. Hector plopped in a can of tuna. Keisha added fruit cocktail. Everyone brought something. It's almost time for the pickup, Ms. Ortiz, Dee's teacher said. Dee's can was about to disappear forever. She ran to her desk and grabbed a yellow sticker. Dee's Peas, Oak Street School, she wrote across it. Dee taped the note onto the can and whispered a secret wish. I want to see where my peas go. Hector heard her. He yelled, No way, pea brain. That evening, Dee and her father made their famous veggie medley. But Dee still had peas on her mind. Where did my can go? She asked her father. Maybe to a food pantry or a soup kitchen, he said. It'll be helpful somewhere. Hector was right. Dee would never know the fate of her peas. But a week later, Ms. Ortiz had a surprise. A church downtown received our can-do cans, though it's a mystery how they knew where they came from. Dee looked at Hector and grinned. Ms. Ortiz continued, Now they've invited us to help their volunteers serve and share a Thanksgiving meal at their soup kitchen. On Thursday at noon, I'll take anyone who would like to go. Hector gasped. Maybe Dee wasn't a pea brain after all. That Thursday, a boy named Tyler walked into the soup kitchen behind his mother. He felt a little shy because he'd never been there before, but his mom wanted him to have a real Thanksgiving meal. Next year, we'll have Thanksgiving in a place of our own, she promised. I know, Tyler said, pushing his glasses higher on his nose. Just then a group of children rushed by. Tyler noticed a girl who wore glasses like his. She might make a fun friend, he thought. Dee looked around. She saw tables being wiped, floors being swept, people rushing in from the cold. In the kitchen, Dee spotted crisp brown turkeys, a super-sized kettle of soup, steaming stuffing, mashed potatoes, cranberry relish, and about a million green beans. There was someone stacking rolls, someone filling gravy boats, someone cutting pies into slices. But Dee didn't see a solitary pea. Welcome! We are so glad you're here, said a lady with a tray. I need helpers for serving. Keisha and Hector were her first volunteers. "I need table setter uppers," called a man. Several children shot to his side. "And I need a napkin hander-outer," came a familiar voice. It was Priscilla from Buster's Market. She was a volunteer, too. Dee walked through the dining room, giving out napkins. The tables were now crowded, and she saw a boy who wore glasses just like hers. The boy smiled at Dee. It made her think, he'd be a fun friend. "Emergency! Emergency!" The kitchen door blew open. Keisha ran out, waving her hands. "Hector knocked over all the vegetables! Kablooey!" Dee raced back to help. "The beans are history," cried Priscilla as she plucked some from Hector's ear. "Dee, please, get me more vegetables, fast," she pointed to the pantry. Dee grabbed cans of carrots, beans, and zucchini. She brushed an entire roll of canned corn into a basket. Then on the uppermost shelf, Dee saw a yellow sticker glimmering in the light. Her peas! Dee stretched, hopped, then jumped. The peas were just too high. She was about to give up when the boy with glasses offered Dee a chair. "Hi, I'm Tyler," he said. "Thanks, Tyler. I'm Dee." Dee climbed up and reached her peas. Tyler tossed cans of tomatoes into the basket. Dee flung in more cans of peas. "Dee, hurry, everyone's waiting," Priscilla called from the kitchen. "Tyler, where are you?" his mom called from the dining room. "Yikes, gotta go," exclaimed Dee and Tyler at the same time, and they ran off in opposite directions. Inside the kitchen, Priscilla looked worried. "What can we make with this mishmash of cans?" she asked. "A veggie medley," Dee explained. "My dad and I make it all the time." Priscilla reached for an enormous pot. Dee whispered something to Priscilla. It was one more secret wish. "Definitely," said Priscilla, darting out the door. When she returned, Tyler was at her side, rolling up his sleeves. "Ready, set, cook," he said. Dee and Tyler took turns opening cans and pouring vegetables into the pot. When things got steamy, they took turns wiping fog from their glasses. Soon, only one can remained. Dee poured her peas into the pot. "Just right," she said. A few minutes later, Dee and Tyler emerged from the kitchen with a brimming vegetable platter held high between them. Everyone burst into applause. "Hooray!" cheered Keisha. "Marvelous!" admired Ms. Ortiz. "Chow time! Dig in!" yelled Hector. "Please wait, my friends." The room grew quiet and still. An elderly man rose. "Let's first give thanks for the blessings of this day," he said. Some people bowed their heads. Some closed their eyes. Some took the hand of their neighbor. Dee smiled at Tyler. He gave her a big thumbs up. They both pushed their glasses higher on their noses. "Now can we dig in?" asked Hector. And everybody did. And I'm going to ask you now to dig in and call us at 895-0131. Please make your show of support for KZFR and particularly for children's programming here on our wonderful community radio station. I am going to play this song preemptively thanking you. All right. I hope you enjoyed that Earth, Wind, and Fire. That song was Gratitude. That's because we are grateful for you listening here to us on KZFR. And I am continuing with my Thanksgiving-y theme this evening, and I hope you enjoyed the can-do Thanksgiving about Dee and all of her classmates and how they contributed to making a wonderful Thanksgiving meal for people in need. And the next story is a new one for me. Today was the first day that I read this story, and this is a really amazing book that I cannot say enough wonderful things about, but I know that it is available in the collections of most of our local libraries, at schools, and at the public library, and I really would encourage you to go look at this because the art is amazing. It's called Balloons Over Broadway, The True Story of the Puppeteer of Macy's Parade. It's written and illustrated by Melissa Sweet. And it starts with a quote by the person that the story is about. His name is Tony Sarg, and his quote is, "Every little movement has a meaning of its own." So think about that. Every little movement has a meaning of its own. From the time he was a little boy, Tony Sarg loved to find out how to make things move. He once said he became a marionette man when he was only 6 years old. His father had asked him to feed their chickens at 6:30 in the morning every day. Tony had an idea. What if he could feed the chickens without leaving his bed? He rigged up some pulleys and ran rope from the chicken coop door to his bedroom window. That night, he spread chicken feed outside the chicken coop door. The next morning, his alarm rang at 6:30. Tony pulled on the rope through his window, and the door to the chicken coop opened. The chickens ate their breakfast. Tony stayed snug in his bed, and his dad, so impressed, never made Tony do another chore. When Tony grew up, he moved to London, where he discovered that no one was making marionettes for kids anymore. So out of wood, cloth, and string, Tony began to make puppets. He figured out ways to make his marionettes' movements so lifelike that they performed as if they were real actors. Word soon spread about Tony's amazing marionettes. When Tony moved to New York City, the Tony Sarg marionettes began performing on Broadway. In the heart of New York City and Herald Square was the biggest store on earth, R.H. Macy's Department Store. Macy's had heard about Tony's puppets and asked him to design a puppet parade for the store's holiday windows. So Tony made new puppets based on storybook characters, then attached them to gears and pulleys to make them move. In Macy's Wondertown windows, Tony's mechanical marionettes danced across the stage as if by magic. All day long, they performed to shoppers jostling for a better look. But Macy's had an even bigger job in store for Tony. Many of the people working at Macy's were immigrants, and as the holidays approached, they missed their own holiday traditions of music and dancing in the streets. Macy's agreed to put on a parade for their employees, and they hired Tony to help. Tony, too, was an immigrant, so he loved the idea of creating a parade based on street carnivals from all over the world. He made costumes and built horse-drawn floats, and Macy's even arranged to bring in bears, elephants, and camels from the Central Park Zoo. The animals joined hundreds of Macy's employees on Thanksgiving Day, 1924, winding their way from Harlem to Herald Square. It was a dazzling parade. In fact, Macy's first parade was such a success that it decided to have one every year on Thanksgiving Day to celebrate America's own holiday. Each year, the parade grew, but when Macy's brought in lions and tigers, in addition to the bears, elephants, and camels, the animals roared and growled and frightened the children. So, Mr. Macy called Tony and asked him, "Can you think of something spectacular?" They wanted him to replace the animals. Tony hoped to replace the animals with some kind of puppets, but his marionettes were less than 3 feet tall. He would have to make much larger puppets in order for them to be seen in the parade. And how could he make them strong enough to hold up in bad weather, yet light enough to move up and down the streets? Tony knew of a company in Ohio that made blimps out of rubber. It was the perfect material for any weather. When he called the company and showed them his sketches, they agreed to make what Tony wanted. Still, how would Tony make his big puppets move? Then Tony had an idea from an Indonesian rod puppet in his toy collection. On Thanksgiving Day, Tony's creatures, some as high as 16 feet, spilled into the streets, and the crowds cheered wildly. Part puppet, part balloon, the air-filled rubber bags wobbled down the avenues, propped up by wooden sticks. By now, the sidewalks were so packed with people that only the first few rows could really see the parade. Tony realized his puppets would have to be even bigger and higher off the ground. And though the sticks helped to steer the puppets, they were stiff and heavy. Tony wanted his balloons to articulate, to move, and gesture, more like puppets. But how? With a marionette, the controls are above, and the puppet hangs down. But what if the controls were below, and the puppets could rise up? During the next year, Tony set his new idea into motion. This time, he asked the company in Ohio to make balloons out of rubberized silk, as strong as rubber, but lighter than rubber alone. Most important, Tony ordered the balloons to be filled not just with air, but with helium, too. Since helium is lighter than air, it would make the balloons rise. Once the puppets were completed, they were deflated and shipped back to Tony in New York. Tony did not know if everything would go as planned. What if the balloons are filled with too much helium? What if one hits a sharp object? Will they fit under the L? That was the elevated train track. It was still dark on Thanksgiving morning when Tony filled the balloons with helium, tethering them down with sandbags. By 1 p.m., the sidewalks were packed with people ready for the parade. Then one by one, Tony cut the lines to the sandbags. "Let's have a parade!" And the magnificent upside-down marionettes rose up to the skies. Nodding and waving to the crowds below, they sailed past Central Park. They sallied down Broadway. They shimmied and swayed through the canyons of New York City. High above the crowds, they flounced in the afternoon wind, pulling the rope handlers this way and that. Yet with every heave-ho, the balloons gestured and articulated like wild puppets, and the crowd screamed for more. After the balloons were eased under the L, they ended up in front of Macy's at Tony's Wondertown windows. It was a parade New Yorkers would never forget. And from that day on, every Thanksgiving morning, crowds have lined the sidewalks of New York City to see what new balloons would rise to the skies for Macy's famous parade. Tony Sarg, the puppeter who loved to figure out how to make things move, had set the stage with a little rigging for a puppet to be anything anyone could imagine it to be. That was Balloons Over Broadway, about how the puppets that make the Macy's Thanksgiving Parade so magical came to be. Oh, I love that story. I learned so much. That was super cool. So I hope that you have enjoyed these Thanksgiving stories here on Wonka Radio, and I will be back in 2 weeks to bring you some more Thanksgiving stories. Next week, Music Mayhem with Duncan and Diego will be here, and we encourage you to please tune in to all of our children's programming here from 7 to 7:30 every weekday evening on KZFR. Give us a call at 895-0131. Need to let you know that Wonka Radio is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR members and by the Printed Image, specializing in custom screen printing and embroidery since 1980. The Printed Image offers American apparel and organic cotton options and can be reached at 898-9525. Wonka Radio is also brought to you by Harris and Daly Wright Accountancy Corporation in Chico. Harris and Daly Wright provides certified public accountants specializing in accounting and bookkeeping services, auditing, tax preparation and planning, management support, services for nonprofit organizations, and more. To reach Harris and Daly Wright, call 895-1209. And my dear friend Jim has just joined me in the studio. Hi, Jim.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you. I'm breathless from all this running around. But I am here to advocate for good, clean fun. So, folks, if you love kids and family programming here on KZFR, something near and dear to Liesl's heart as well as mine, we both have put in a lot of time, a lot of years, a lot of hours, a lot of love into these programs. If you feel the same way, call 895-0131 and do it as soon as possible, like right now.
Like right now. That's right. Show the love, people. Just reciprocate because we've got it for you. All right. Give us a call, 895-0131. Your money makes a vote for children's radio.
Show your love. We love you.
That's right. All right, everybody. We have reached the end of our evening together, and I hope that you've had fun with these stories. I'm going to leave you with this thought. Where is fancy bread? In the heart or in the head? Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the chocolate room.